The Lord be with you. You will be forgiven if I do not look like Bishop Ian. I am the third consolation prize because today is normally Reverend Geerlin's day of worship, so you get me, sorry. And so here we are at the end of another Christian year. Over this past year, Sunday by Sunday, we've been celebrating just how it was that God rescued us through the eyes of Luke's gospel. The birth of Jesus, his life and ministry, his death and resurrection and ascension. Next week, Advent Sunday, the whole story starts again through the eyes of Matthew's gospel. But today, on this Sunday called Christ the King, we come to the climax of the story, as it were. Through the ages, evil has always been a source of fascination. We can hardly bear to look, but find it hard to look away. Some part of us is attracted to what we know is wrong or even evil. The New Testament is quite clear about this, and it uses the imagery of kingdom and kingship to describe two distinct kingdoms. Left to our own devices, we're drawn to the kingdom of darkness and evil. But in Christ Jesus, God has rescued us from this kingdom and brought us into the kingdom of light, of which he is the king. The letter to the Colossians, which we have just heard, puts it like this. Give thanks to the Father who has established you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Today we give thanks to God for rescuing us, for saving us, for redeeming us, for transferring us into the kingdom of light, and for giving us Jesus as our King and our Lord. Tomorrow I am officiating a service for a funeral service for a Māori family. And when I ask the family what music they will be playing as part of the service, they says, oh, he loved Rastafarian music. He was a fan of Bob Marley and that. And it brought me straight to this sermon today in the song for Haile Selassie, who they believed was the prophet for the Rastafarian movement, where it says something like, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, conquering lion of the tribe of Judah. Now, I'm not getting dreadlocks or anything in any great hurry, but when I think about people who listen to that music, it reminds me that song came to mind in as far as Christ the King this weekend. So what is this kingdom of darkness from which we have been rescued? Perhaps we're drawn to images of darkness and evil that bombard us in the media on the daily. It is so much harder and more painful to look within ourselves. But that is where the New Testament forces us to look, at the heart of darkness within. The kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light collide decisively and violently at the cross. When they came to the place that is called the skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. A king? A king? If you're the king of the Jews, save yourself. But already, on the cross, unseen by those who mocked him, the work of rescue had begun. Just as Colossians put it, he has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. The work began with the criminals who were hanging on either side of him. One of those criminals heard those gracious words of forgiveness, and looking on the face of Jesus, he sees a king. And he utters these words, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He was transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. We too have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. At our baptism, we receive the forgiveness of sins, like that criminal on the cross, and we too were transferred decisively into that kingdom. And Jesus Christ is our King. And that is a cause of great rejoicing. And why today? The feast of Christ the King is such a joyful culmination of the church year. So, what type of king is Christ? Well, what type of king subjects himself to execution amongst common criminals? And not just death, the most humiliating, painful death the Romans gave to anyone. A death where the condemned will be left for all to see, for a few days in some cases, for all those in the town to see, people who knew the family. There was no way of keeping a crucifixion quiet among the neighbours. The shame must have been unbearable. What kind of king never tried to dislodge the authorities in order to take charge themselves? Who never had possessions of any worth, let alone the best of everything? Who ever heard of a king without an army? A king who showed everyone around him love and compassion, and especially concerned himself with those whom society hated. What type of king would, when faced with death, accept his fate despite encouragement from others to prove himself and save his life? Well, Jesus' kingdom was established beyond his place and time in earthly history. His authority is assured since before the world began, and with such confidence and a view beyond his earthly life, Jesus was able to be a servant king. He obeyed God's command to sacrifice himself for us. Jesus understood that he could only fulfill his kingly mission on earth by demonstrating the ultimate powerlessness of the cross and death. By defeating death, Jesus displayed his authority. He did not need to take part in political struggling and war. Rather, his divine kingship came about through obedience to and trust in God. That criminal crucified with Jesus, who recognized him as king, showed such faith that day that despite his past deeds, Jesus promised him a place in paradise. The man's act of faith in Jesus and repentance of his misdeeds opened up to him a place in heaven. Jesus explained to his disciples the true nature of his power time and again in the Gospels, where he tried in vain to help them to understand how he fits into the world. His recognizable kingly duties of sitting on a throne and passing judgment will occur in heaven and not during his ministry on earth. This is truly where Christ the King reigns, in heaven and in the hearts of those who believe. By following Jesus' example and recognizing him as our King, we too have everything to gain. And yet, although we've been rescued, forgiven, and transferred decisively by Christ into his kingdom of light, we are not immune from being attracted by the other kingdom. And we sometimes act as if we have a foot in each camp. But the letter to the Ephesians will have none of it, but urges us, for once you were in darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light. Live as children of light. How do we do that? I believe that it's virtually important in our Christian life to periodically sit down and take stock of our lives. Ask ourselves in God's presence, am I living a life that reflects my identity as a child of light? Advent, like Lent, is a great time to do that. these next few weeks leading up to Christmas. I encourage you, find a time and make a searching and honest inventory of your life. Where precisely are you most attracted to that other kingdom of darkness? And if necessary or required, how do I need to amend my life in practical terms? And then bring those areas of your life which need amending to the Lord and ask Him to forgive you and restore you. God so longs for us to choose the light and delights when we return to Him. When we fall, God is quick to forgive us, restore us, and welcome us home into the kingdom of light. So, as we reflect on a year gone by and look forward to a new Christian year ahead, we do so with the knowledge that Christ is in His place of authority, yet He remains a servant King, caring about and listening to our concerns and inspiring us to be servants to one another. It is on our track record in this that we are told we will be judged. And with this in mind, when we pray, ask what the criminal asked. Jesus, remember me now you have come into your kingdom. So let us give thanks to God, who has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son, where He lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen.